Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So our reading today comes from Colossians 3, from verses 12 to 25. So put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving him thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleases, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for today that we can come together as a family and hear from you. Lord, we thank you that you have chosen each and every one of us. We thank you that your plan is for family. And we thank you, Father, for this exact moment that we are in right now, Lord God. I thank you that you ordained it, you planned it. It isn't by coincidence that we're here. It's by your divine plan. And so, Father, move me out of the way so that your word will go through and do what it needs to do tonight. So, Father, we thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn somebody, before you sit down, why don't you say, turn somebody in, give them a nudge and say, it's good to see you. Good to see you. The theme that we're going through today is family. Everybody say family. Okay, and so this is the title of my message today, A Church That Loves Family. And so family is a value that we as a church believe is important, and it's something that we try and live out within our life, right? You know, each of us have had our own personal experiences with our biological families or our natural families, and they have helped to form and shape how we see families, whether good or not so good. And so sometimes we can take those experiences and use them as the lens with which we look at how spiritual family can be. But the problem with that is that it can be very distorted. It can be a very damaged image. But there is good news. And the good news is this, is that God has a plan. And God has a design for families. And so today we're going to be looking at three things that God does through the design of families. And so the first thing is this. God displays his nature through family. God displays his nature through family. Here's a question for us. Where do we get to know, read, hear, and see about the nature of God? Where do we go to? It's not a trick question. It starts with B. Someone can yell it out if they want to. Bible? Bible? Yes, it's the Bible. Yes. And so if we go to the Bible and we start from the very beginning, where it all began in the book of Genesis, we see that the creator, the character, and the artistry of God and how he speaks the galaxies into existence, how he plants the forests with this magnificent range of color, beauty, variety, and creativity. But the masterpiece, the pinnacle is that he reveals more, about God than anything else shows up when God made something called family. In Genesis 1, 27 to 8, 28, it says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is God's purpose, God's calling for the first family. Male and female, he created them. He blesses them and then he says to them, be fruitful, produce, reproduce, fill the earth. This was the responsibility that God gave to the very first family. Now let's look at one aspect of the family. Let's look at marriage, okay? So when we see God's design or God's pattern for family, we see his design for oneness. We see his design for marriage. In Matthew 19, Jesus responds to a question by the Pharisees. And we know that these Pharisees, they were always looking for ways to try and trip up or trap Jesus, right? That's all they wanted to do. And they never got to do it. And so their question to Jesus was, on this particular occasion, was, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And this is Jesus' response to them. Matthew 19, verses 4 to 6. He says this, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? That sounds familiar, right? And said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So Jesus reminds them from the beginning that God created them, male and female. And he said to them, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. Other translations say that he shall be joined or he shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jesus is quoting from Genesis 2:24. Marriage is a faithful and exclusive relationship between a male and a female, designed by God and given by God. It is the picture of Christ and the church. They are one. But Paul even reiterates the importance of this truth about marriage in another letter of his, in Ephesians. In Ephesians 5:31 to 32, he says this. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. This is a picture of Christ and the church. It's a picture of oneness. It's a picture of marriage. It's a picture of family. Think about this. The strength of a marriage will be revealed in the moments of stress. What do you reckon, husbands and wives? Is that true? Yeah. I think about my own marriage. And we've been married 24 years. I know, what a hottie guy, eh? 24 years. Yes, we were married when we were 12 years old. 24 years we've been married, and it hasn't been an easy ride. You know, there have been bumps in the road, there have been potholes along the way, there have been stresses, things that we've walked through, differences of opinions, expectations, understanding, finance, our pasts, trust, forgiveness. But the biggest thing for me was leaving and cleaving. Leaving my mum and dad and cleaving to my wife because I was a mummy's boy. You know, I thought that I could have it both ways. I thought that I could have both, right? But tensions and stress would arise when I was trying to please both sides. And it wasn't until I finally got that as Christ is to the church, I am to be to my wife. Christ gave himself fully to the church to the point of laying down his life for the church. That's oneness. I was to give myself fully to my wife. But I could not do this if I was still trying to hold on to my mummy and daddy. My wife is my family now. This is my family now. This needed to be my focus now. I could not give my best to my wife if I was still attached to my mom and dad, or if I was still joined, you know, to my, or drawn to my mom and dad. And that was on me as a husband. It's on me for not clearly understanding what it is to leave my father and mother and cleave to my wife. It's nothing to do with whether I love my parents or not, but this is God's plan for marriage. This is the picture of Christ and the church. It's the picture of oneness. It's the picture of marriage. It's the picture of family. When we see how our family needs to be, we must look to how we must be one with Christ. When we see how our family needs to be, we must look to how we must be one with Christ. So it's with this oneness with Christ that we get to experience God's love. It's this oneness with Christ that we get to experience his restoration, his revelation, his healing, his forgiveness in our marriages and in our families. So I'm just going to change it up a little bit here. Can I talk to the husbands in here? Wives, if you're next to your husband, just give them a light nudge. A light nudge. Don't drop the elbow, just a nudge. Verse 19 of our passage that Levi read today says this: husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Wives, don't look at your husbands. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Focus on me. Husbands. Husbands, I'm talking to you, husbands. I'm talking to me. Do we see examples of Christ being harsh with the church? Do we see examples of him putting her down? Do we see examples of Christ embarrassing her or belittling her or controlling her? Do we see any of that from Christ towards the church? No, we don't. We see the complete opposite. We see love. We see patience. We see kindness. We see forgiveness. We see encouragement. We see his sacrifice. Brothers, husbands, let's love our wives like Christ loved the church. Now let's look at another facet of the family unit, okay? Parental, children. You know, sometimes we can fall into this trap of comparing our kids to, you know, other kids, other families' kids, right? You know, you see them and you're like, oh man, those kids are so talented. They play 50 million sports. Oh my gosh. Oh, those kids are so brainy. Wow, academics. Oh, wow, those kids, they're so creative, right? And sometimes, you know, we as parents, we can sort of feel like a failure, right? When the image that we have in our head of our kids being these beautiful, talented kids doesn't reflect in our kids. And so we as parents are like, I'm believing God, I'm believing for this to happen. I came across this this website, and it shows these baby shoot Pinterest photos and of like, you know, what it looked like, but then what it really was. Okay, so the first one is this one. So we had joy. Wow, that looks so cool, eh? Look at those good-looking children. I could swap my kids in there for that. Joy. But this is what really happened. Oh, get us out of here, Mom. What about this one? Oh, that's so cute, eh? Sitting in a bowl of lollies. Look like her legs are made of glass. But this is what it really looked like. Poor baby said, get me out of here, Mom, Dad. Last one. What about this? Oh, beautiful blue. That's like New South Wales blue. Wow. So engaging, right? You're just drawn to the blue, right? Beautiful, beautiful. But this is what it really looked like. That's a Queenslander. Right? Quiet down, quiet down. When you imitate what you see elsewhere and it fails, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with that? How do we walk through that? When stuff that we envisioned in our head and we look at it in reality and it's not the same, how do we deal with that? Do we take our disappointments of ourselves, in ourselves? Do we take it out on our children? Do we take it out on our spouse? Do we take it out on our house, right? You know, you have your throwing arm that you throw stuff in the house. Doesn't happen here. Oh, that's good, that's good. Okay, but, you know, do we say things? Do we say things that we don't mean? We use words to rip our children down, to tear our spouses down, instead of using them to build them up. Jesus taught his disciples how to approach God in prayer. And it's as a father. As a father. In Matthew 6, verses 6 to 8, it says this, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus' instruction to his disciples was to go into your room. Go into your private place. Go into that secret place where you can impress no one else except God. Where your complete focus will be on God. Not performing for anyone, but just God. God's relationship with us is as his children. We're his children. We're not his robots. We're his children. Okay? So nudge the person next to you and say, you're a child of God. It starts with God. It starts with him, right? In 1 John 3:1, okay, it says this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. You know, I like the Message translation. That's, and it puts it like this. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. You know, do we really believe that? Do we really understand that? That we are children of God. We're children of the Most High. Do we really get the enormity and privilege of the love that God has extended, that God has given? Another translation uses the word bestowed to each of us. Now, this word bestowed can have the idea of this one-sided giving of a return for something earned. One-sided giving. This is God giving us. God is so generous that He just wants to give us this privilege of being called His children. We are called His children. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. In Colossians 3:20, it says this, children, any youth up in here? Oh, you don't want to be, don't worry, your parents will see you. Children, it says this, children, obey your parents as it pleases the Lord. Paul here has in mind children who are still in their parents' household and under their authority. And so for these, they must not only honor their father and mother, as it says in Ephesians 6:2, but they must also obey them, obey their parents. But when a child has grown out of his parents' household, right, they've gone and are doing their own thing, their own house and everything, he's no longer under the same obligation of obedience, but the obligation to honor your father and mother still remains. And so, young people, when you respect your parents' authority, when you obey your parents because it pleases the Lord, that is you respecting God's order of authority in your life. Amen? And that is a great blessing for your life. Verse 21. Oh, this may feel like I'm attacking the fathers a lot this day, but I'm not, okay? I'm just reading the Word of God, all right? I'm just reading the Word. Verse 21, it says, fathers, don't provoke the children as they'll become discouraged. You know, our role as a father to our children is very vital. It's vital and very influential. Okay, so fathers, let's choose carefully how we will build and disciple our children, because we want our children to be encouraged towards God, not away from Him. Amen? Now, the second thing that God does through the design of family is that God disciples through the family. God disciples through the family. Now, this isn't the only way, but it's the primary way of discipleship. And it's in the family. Everybody say, in the family. So parents, it's not kids' church responsibility to disciple our children. Parents, it's not the youth leaders' responsibility to disciple our children. It's not even the pastors or our schools' responsibility to disciple our children. It's our responsibility as parents to disciple our children. Amen? Parents? Any parents? Yes. Now, it's not to say that there's anything wrong or anything not good with those environments, but they are good places to help develop them further, right? But we need to remember that they are secondary. Those things are all, those avenues are secondary to help, you know, solidify and strengthen, right, the discipleship process. Where we teach them, where we should be establishing those seeds of Christ-like character and principles is in the family. Is in our families. I like how Pastor Joe Franco, he says this, as children grow, they move through three parenting stages. Commander. So this is when children are young. Our role as parents is commander. When our children are teens, our role as a parent is coach. When our children are adults, then our role as a parent is more consultant. You know, I have seen examples of where when children are young, it's commander. When children are teens, it's commander. when children are adults? It's commander. It's commander, commander, commander. The whole life. Parents, that ain't helpful. You ain't helping them. You're setting them up for not, you're not setting them up at all. You're setting them up for failure. As our kids grow, our responsibilities as parents need to change as well. Yes, when they were young, when they were babies, yes, we need to be commander. But when they're adults, they don't need us to be commander to them when they got their own wife and kids, right? So commander, commander, commander is a conundrum. Don't do it. Okay, don't do it. All right? So at each stage, we are critical, parents. We are critical. We are vital in the phases of growing our families. Amen? There's a story about the Titanic. And everyone familiar with the story of the Titanic, right? That great luxury liner ship that sunk in 1912. Yeah, okay, I'll tell you about it today then. Okay, and it took like some 1,500 people's lives. It sunk. But there's this unique story behind it about a key that was believed that could have saved the Titanic from its disastrous end. Now, the story goes that when the Titanic set sail, this key was not on board. This key was the key to open the locker in the crow's nest so that the lookout could see, so the lookout could use these special binoculars to look ahead, right? This is the crow's nest, the arrow there. It's a lonely place up there. But that's where there's a locker there, and there's binoculars in there. The second officer, David Blair, had the key. And when some last-minute changes were made to the crew, David was quickly shuffled off the luxury liner. But in his haste, he forgot to hand the key over to his replacement. And so the lookouts were left with no use of the binoculars. They were just looking with their natural naked eyes, right? One lookout by the name of Fred Fleet, who survived, he gave this testimony at the official inquiry. He said that if they had binoculars, they would have seen the iceberg sooner. When asked how much sooner, Fred replied, "Enough to get out of the way." What keys of discipleship are we passing on to our families so that they will be able to get out of the way of hidden icebergs? What keys are we giving our children to help them on this journey of life? Deuteronomy 6 verses 6 to 7 says this, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands, the word of God, that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. God, our good Father, gives us His word. He gives us His spirit to help us, to warn us of the icebergs of sin, the icebergs of addictions, the icebergs of death, the icebergs of unrighteousness. What things are we teaching our kids every day? What keys are we giving them to be able to navigate through life? You know, are we giving them any keys at all? Or are we just rushing them, go to school, go to school? We're like sending them along like the Titanic. And we're leaving it to the media. We're leaving it to social networks. We're leaving it to their friends. We're leaving it to culture, people's opinions, and other sources to form and forge them into whatever. You know, maybe you may sound like this. I sound like this. "Hey, get up for school, make your bed, brush your teeth, study hard, right? Stay out of trouble. Listen to your teacher. Do your homework. Yes, those are good. But if we want to see Christ in our families, we need to be teaching our kids about Christ-like character and Christ's principles. Let me give you an example. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if our kids were to see another kid at school being bullied, what have we taught our kids to respond in that situation? How have we told them to respond in those moments? Have we told them, son, daughter, if you see someone getting bullied, you should put yourself in their position and put yourself in their place and ask them, man, I would want someone to come in and help me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. What about this situation? What if we're, this happens a lot, I'm sure it does. We're driving along in the car and then another vehicle just cuts in front of us, right? And how have we taught ourselves to respond in those situations? You know, are we throwing gestures and speaking a foreign language? But our kids are watching. Hello? What are we saying there? What are we teaching them? What keys of discipleship are we passing on in our families so that they will be able to get out of the way of hidden icebergs? Now, the third thing that God does through the design of family is that God provides us with family relationships within His church. Within His church. Matthew 12, 48 to 50 says this, but he replied to the man and told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And so this is Jesus responding to a man that came to him and said, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brother are outside. They're looking for you. And this is Jesus' response to them. Whoever does the will of the Father and loves God, this is my brother. This is my sister. This is my mother. This is family. Look, there may be some of us in here that maybe don't have our natural family with us today, for whatever reason. Maybe you're on a different path, or maybe they just live in a different city, different country. Whatever the reason, let me reassure you of this, that God in His divine way gives us these family relationships within the church. Can I ask you to do something? Can I give you just to look around? Honest, just look around. Look around. Look at people. Don't look at the ground. Look around at people. You see them? You see people? That's your family. Those are your brothers. Those are your sisters. Those are your spiritual parents, right? You have brothers and sisters around you within the church. Amen? Within the church, you have a family around you within the church. You know, a great way to develop these relationships is in the setting of life groups. That's why we have such a big focus on being part of life groups. Because life groups is just an extension of what we do here on Sundays. Yes, to come on a Sunday is great. But if we have multiple connections, multiple gathering points throughout the week with our family, our spiritual family, our church family, that's only going to strengthen those relationships. That's only going to strengthen those bonds. Amen? And It's not just about you finding your place in a spiritual family. That's good. That's what we want. But you may be the very connection that will encourage someone else to be part of the spiritual family as well. And that's pretty cool, right? You bringing other people to the family as well. Because your circle of friends are different to my circle of friends. And so when we're working together in extending the kingdom, in extending the family, that's God's plan for us. This is family. We are God's model of this for the world. We're God's model for this for the world. You know, there may be some of us that have come from a real tough background, right? Come from broken families. And it may have been hard. And your experience, your perspective of family has sort of enclosed you to say, nah, I don't want to be part of family. I know what family does. I know what family looks like. But can I encourage you that we want to walk with you as family through that? That's what family is for, right? We walk through the tough stuff together. So don't feel that you're alone. Don't feel that you have to go through it alone. If you're going through loss, don't feel that you have to walk through that loss by yourself. If you're going through a change in your life, don't feel that you have to go through that yourself. Look around you. You have family around you. So I'd encourage us, build with our family. Get to know our family, man. You know, our life group, we have a thread. And man, what I love the most about our thread for our life bros is that when one of the bros are going through stuff and they put it up, hey, bros, please pray for this. We're going through this. Man, all the brothers jumping on board. Yes, bro, we're praying for you. We're standing with you, bro. We're praying for you. And that's what family does. Family just comes around and we just support. We help. We pray. We do whatever needs to be done because that's what family does. You know, I was blessed yesterday. Me and my family, we were having breakfast at IKEA. Yes, good old budget breakfast. But, you know, while we were there, we were blessed to see Yang and Odeng there yesterday. And it was so cool, you know. It was so cool to see family there, right? Please don't be the type that sees family and then hides. That ain't family, man. Family says hi. Family don't hide, okay? So we need to get to know each other. Wherever we see each other, man, we need to say hi. What up, family? You know? Okay, one final thing. We're nearly there. I just need to say this, okay? Who are you doing life with? Who are you doing life with? Who are your relationships with? You know, I know in this time and age that we're at, we can think that, oh man, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to go down to try and build with people. But if you find yourself alone, if you find yourself feeling like you're by yourself and you're wondering why do I feel so isolated? I would ask you, who are you building with in the family? Who are you getting around in the family? I know it takes work. I know it takes resources. I know it takes effort to do that sort of stuff. But if we get to that place of feeling like, this church family is cool, but I don't feel connected. I want to put it on each of us. Are we making an effort to connect with each other? Be cautious. Don't isolate yourself on your own or your family on your own. Don't isolate your family from God's spiritual family, but let your family grow and thrive in God's design for spiritual family through his church. And so right now, I want us to, we're going to go into a question, okay? And so this is the question I want us to, so around, you know, two or three of you's around, just turn around. Because remember, we're family, okay? So if you got your natural family around you, cool, have a discussion about that. If you come here by yourself, just jump into a family because we are family, okay? And answer this question, discuss this question. How is your family doing? And you can look at it at any context, whether it's your natural family or our spiritual family. How is our family doing? How are you doing in our family? Right? So I'll give you 3 minutes to talk about this, okay? 3 minutes to talk about it. And then I want you to encourage you to spend some time in prayer as well. And I'll come up and then we'll go into responding to the Word of God. Is that all right? Okay? And for those of you that are online, jump into a Zoom. Jump into the Zoom link there and you can have some time of prayer and discussion as well. We have some prayer warriors in there ready to pray with you and encourage you as well. But for those of us that are here, you know, I encourage you, have a quick chat, have a quick kōrero with someone around you. Is that all right? Okay, family, we'll see you in 3. Cool.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.